Good afternoon, good evening, good morning, global tribe of disruptors. I am Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption podcast, Disrupting Your Automatics. Today's show is episode 114, Joy to the World. You can catch all 113 previous episodes of Dudes of Disruption on both Podomatic and on iTunes. You're listening to Coach Nick and the Dudes of Disruption. I'm Coach Nick. I'm an author, speaker, and facilitator around transformational and leadership topics, and I'm a committed disruptor. Why we're here? To awaken humanity so that everyone, and I mean everyone, gets to leave their mark. I deliver transformation and disruption in the areas of leadership, leadership development, corporate culture, team dynamics, and personal development. I run a Dudes of Disruption men's group here in New York City. If you want more information about joining our men's group, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. I also run a social political group called Cocktails with Conviction. If you want more information about Cocktails with Conviction, email me at coachnick@coachnick.com. I'm here in studio at talkradio.nyc with Sam Leibowitz, who also runs a show on Talk Radio NYC called The Conscious Consultant. Hi, Sam.
Yes. Hi, Nick. Thank you for having me on again. Hey, out there, disruptors. Woohoo! Keep disrupting.
That is Sam. So today we're talking about joy to the world. As we approach the close of 2017, we're all caught up in a lot of the doing, right? A lot of doing, a lot of running around with the year end and the holiday rush, whatever holiday you're celebrating. Suddenly, Sam, we become aware of the homeless.
Oh, yeah.
And those who have hit challenging times.
Right.
All of a sudden, we're into gift giving. Like we're actually looking forward to it, both giving and receiving.
Yeah.
We seem to be more thoughtful. We seem to be more connected with friends and family. You know, we seem to go out for dinners or drinks or meetups with friends and family. We seem to celebrate more at work with our teams.
Yeah, lots of parties, right?
A lot of parties, a lot of the holiday dinners all of a sudden, right? Yeah. For the first time throughout the year, we're all coming together, right? We're all getting in the spirit, as they say, right? Yeah. It's almost as if there's a holiday switch.
Right.
I think it happens around Thanksgiving.
Right. I think it comes once we finish digesting all that turkey we ate on Thanksgiving.
Right. So it gets turned, and it gets turned on around that time, right? The question I have for the global tribe of disruptors is, why only now? Why only?
Good question.
Why only between November, let's say 24th or 25th, through, you know, January 1st or the first week of January? Why are we in that spirit only during that time frame in a way that we normally are not, right?
Right.
What would be possible if we could be in ways of being?
Mm-hmm.
What would be possible if we could be in that spirit all year round? So what we're going to discuss today, Sam, is the importance of disrupting the norm of being in the spirit only, or most often only, during this November 24th, 25th through the 1st of January or the first week of January. Yeah. So before we jump in, Sam, and start the show, we start every show with a quote, and
I know that dude.
I know that dude, Sam. So here's a quote from a dude, actually. Here's the quote. It's a Dr. Seuss quote, who's one of my favorite disruptors.
A great disruptor.
Yeah. Right? Christmas will only be as long as we stand heart to heart and hand in hand. Christmas will always be as long as we stand heart to heart and hand in hand. What does that say to you? How does that land on you?
I mean, to me, that just says the importance of community, right? You know, heart to heart, hand in hand. It's like recognizing the people around us as fellow brothers and sisters. Like, these are our community.
Right.
These are our people.
Right.
And as long as we stay connected, we're in the holiday spirit.
Yes.
But it's so easy to get disconnected from that then we lose it.
Yeah. Love it. For me, Christmas will always be as long as we stand heart to heart and hand in hand. For me, what that means, I feel like it's aligned with what the show is about, which is it's your choice to bring whatever version of yourself at any time in any situation. It's your choice. Mm-hmm. You actually have the power in any minute to bring whatever version you want, whatever experience you want to create or not create for that matter. You know, the question I often ask leaders in companies is what weather are you bringing to your office and to your team?
Oh,
what's the weather that you're setting,
that.
Right?
Yeah.
You're either bringing or setting sunshine, mm-hmm. or you're either bringing or setting rain or gloom.
Right.
Either way, it's your choice. That's actually your good news.
Right.
Right. So to me, you can choose the holiday spirit, for example, that many of us have between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Right. We can choose what's called that joyous and giving and loving and connected spirit that normally is associated between Thanksgiving and New Year's. You can choose to bring that throughout the year. Choose right. to bring that in July. Right. Choose to bring that on a rainy day in February.
Right.
You know, choose to bring it in September. You can choose to bring whatever weather you want, and in this case, the holiday spirit, you can bring that at any time.
Right. You don't have to wait until, you know, What a Wonderful Life is on TV or, you know, all these holiday movies, classics that come on. We don't have to wait until those come on to actually start feeling it.
You don't. You don't have to. You don't have to wait for those movies. And I just watched, by the way, with my 8-year-old, I watched it, and for him was his first time, A Christmas Carol.
Ah, yes.
And what a great movie for him to watch. And you know, it's interesting. He was talking to my 4-year-old, and he said, you know, what do you think Christmas is about? And the 4-year-old immediately responded before he could even finish this question, and he said, it's about presents. And the 8-year-old said something really interesting, and I do think the movie had something to do with it. He said, it's about being thoughtful to others.
Mm-hmm.
It's about being nice to others.
I would say he's right, but it's about presence. Not presence.
Ooh.
Presence. Being present with
Got
the
it.
People around
Ooh,
us.
Oh, I love that, Sam. So again, when my son says being thoughtful and nice is what Christmas is for him, and what you said, the holiday is about presence
right.
versus being, you know, giving presents.
Yeah.
Again, those are ways of being
right.
that you could choose at any time throughout the year. You could choose that with any relationship. You can be on the subway in April
right.
or in a meeting at work, you know, in October, and you right. can bring being present
mm-hmm.
and being connected and being mm-hmm. nice and being thoughtful anytime, anywhere, and with any situation, and it doesn't have to only be between Thanksgiving
right.
and New Year's.
Right. And you know, the thing, keep in mind, we always tend to be very Northern Hemisphere centric in the world, but in the Southern Hemisphere right now, it's the middle of summertime.
Yes,
it's
true.
Instead of us coming to the winter solstice there at the summer solstice, it's the longest day of the year, not the shortest day of the
yes.
year. So a lot of it has to do on location. Like if you're in Australia right now,
right.
it's not feeling a lot like quote-unquote Christmas the way we're used to thinking of
yes.
it. Why? Because we're very Northern Hemisphere-oriented
mm-hmm.
in our ways of thinking about things.
Yes.
So if they can celebrate Christmas in the middle of their summer, why can't we?
Yes, absolutely. Sam just dropped the mic. Why can't we celebrate Christmas in the summer, right? That's exactly
right.
it. That's the disruption. Here's the question for the global tribe of disruptors, some of which are watching us on Facebook and some of which will be listening to our podcast on both Podomatic and on iTunes. Here's the question for the global tribe. Why do you notice the homeless mostly, and in some cases only, during the holidays?
Mm.
Why do we seem so connected to family and friends more than ever during this period between Thanksgiving and New Year's? Why are New Yorkers, I'm a New Yorker, why are New Yorkers so friendly during this time? You know, I always right. find myself telling people, outside people that live outside of New York, Sam, I always find myself telling people outside of New York, New York is the nicest place to be during the holidays.
Absolutely.
Right? And I understand there's an element of the aesthetics, right? You know, the city is decorated in such a way. And at the same time, New York is a great city always. I mean, the
yeah.
museums are here. The, you know, Broadway is here. The Yankees are here. You know, there's so, I had to throw in the Yankees. There's always so much going on here, right? Yet I'm telling people to come to New York between Thanksgiving and New Year's. Again, for the global tribe of disruptors, why do we seem so connected to creating surprise and awe for others, for the people around us, primarily between Thanksgiving and New Year's only.
Right.
How do you bring the holiday spirit in July? How do you bring the joy, the giving, and the kindness always? How do you remember to create awe and surprise, and even mystery for that matter, throughout the year so that you're always creating smiles, right?
Right.
I believe that when we choose, and again, it's in our power always. That's the power of choosing. I believe that when we choose to bring the spirit of December, if you will, throughout the year, there's an opportunity to create a different experience for the people around us and a different experience for ourselves, both at work and at home.
You know, part of it, I think a lot of it has to do with sort of the quote-unquote ritual of Christmas.
Okay.
And you know, if we use ritual more in our life, we can create it, and we create it naturally.
Yes. Yes.
Now, again, coming from a Jewish background, like I have a very different perspective on things, because for us, the high holy days are like the big holiday of the year,
right,
is Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, which usually right. happens in September, October.
Right.
But then there's also Passover. You know, it's Easter time, which is also a big holiday in April.
Right.
But also in the Jewish faith and the Jewish tradition, there are like, there are constant, there are holidays all the time.
Yes.
There are blessings for everything.
Yes.
And, you know, as a kid, I was never really into it because I always thought like, you know, what are they doing? Why do I have to bless my food every time I eat?
Yes.
but by creating that ritual, it reminds us
yes.
how important it is to be present.
Yes.
To think about the homeless, our friends, our family,
yes,
other things.
Absolutely.
So ritual is an amazing tool that
yes.
can help us
yes.
to bring not just the holiday spirit, but spirit in general
yes.
to our lives throughout the year.
Yeah. It's the thing I talk to leaders about in companies, people who lead teams, who oversee, you know, manage people.
Yeah.
I say, you know, look for the excuses
right.
to A, create the rituals and the traditions
mm-hmm.
so that you can celebrate them and you can be reminded of why we're here, right. why we do what we do, to yeah. be reminded of what's great about us, right?
Right.
You know,
right.
I know there's some organizations out there who celebrate service anniversaries. Oh, Nick's been with the company for 1 year. Mm. Sam's been with the company for 5 years. And they make a big deal out of it.
Mm.
And in some ways, that may seem corny. And at the same time, what's awesome about it is that my anniversary may be in May and your anniversary yeah. may be in September. And we're celebrating throughout the year.
Yeah,
and we're bringing that spirit. And so I'm always encouraging leaders, look for opportunities to do two things. One, to create traditions, i.e. like celebrating people's service anniversaries, birth dates, but also to celebrate, you know, new clients
right.
or new projects going live or whatever
right.
the case may be. But look to celebrate, because otherwise you're going to fall into the trap of the classic, we're having our holiday dinner.
Right, right.
Where everybody gathers together and
overindulges.
Overindulges. And there's not really the connection that you would hope for
right,
sometimes because right. throughout the year, you never sat down and celebrated. You never
right.
sat down and had the dinner.
You know, somebody actually just said to me the other day, you know, somebody was talking to them about, you know, oh, yes, it'll be great. Let's get together at the holiday party and sit down and talk. And they were thinking to themselves, you haven't talked to me all year long.
Exactly.
Why would I sit down now and talk to you at the
exactly.
holiday party? If you wanted to talk to me, why didn't you pick up the phone
exactly.
and call me 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 months ago?
Exactly. Exactly. So, Sam, I want to jump into a little bit more about the importance of creating awe and surprise throughout the year.
Mm.
Okay. I'm going to drop some research on you, Sam. I'm going to try to be smart. So think of the kid on Christmas morning,
mm-hmm.
right? Think of the kid's face on Christmas morning, the look and the experience they're having, mm-hmm. right? And what a and also think of you know, my kids are Jewish. So first night, I was there for the first night of Hanukkah.
Oh, okay.
And their mom gave them their gift.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, their eyes lit up,
yeah,
right?
Yeah,
their faces are glowing. They, you know, they're ripping into it. All this energy. You know, it's late in the evening too. They were a little sluggish, right?
Yeah.
And ready to go to bed. And all of a sudden, they're lit up. It's just like the kids on Christmas morning, right?
Right.
Can't
right.
wait to. They literally can't sleep the entire night, right?
Right?
Think of the experience of, you know, the kid Christmas morning or the first night of Hanukkah, right? And what that creates actually for both, not only the receiver of the gift.
Mm-hmm.
But also for the giver.
Right.
Right? for both parties, right? Both the giver and the receiver are impacted. Surprise activates the pleasure centers in our brain and gives us both the receiver and the giver, gives us a nice shot of dopamine, which is one of my favorite drugs.
Love dopamine.
Exactly, which makes any experience more enjoyable, right? When that dopamine is triggered, things just feel better, right? And it's why we go back and want to do more of it, or why we remember the experience, because our dopamine was released, right? So to demonstrate this, researchers from Emory University did a split study. Emory University split study participants into two groups. One group received a squirt of fruit juice into their mouth at predictable intervals. They knew when they were going to get that squirt of fruit juice. While the second group, the other group, received juice shots randomly. Oh. The participants had no idea when they were going to get those juice shots.
Okay.
MRI scans revealed that the group that received the juice at unpredictable random moments exhibited more activity in the reward center of the brain. Surprise, therefore, improves the experience.
Right, right.
It makes the experience more memorable. So,
and think about that for a moment, right? When somebody does something nice for you on a time that's not your birthday, not your anniversary, just because they were thinking of you and they wanted to give you something nice, right? Doesn't that feel like extra special?
Yes.
Like, I think we've gotten to that point in our society where it's kind of like, you expect presents on your birthday, right? You expect it on Christmas.
Yes.
But when it shows up, when it's unexpected, oh my God, like that is a real treat.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, for those folks listening and watching, if you're a leader, think of ways to create surprise and awe and mystery for your employees.
Absolutely.
Because it makes a difference. People remember that. If you're a parent for your kids, or if you're a friend and have friends, or if you're in a romantic relationship, remember the importance of creating surprise and what it does for our brain, what it does for our body, what it does for our experience.
Right.
Surprise improves. Speaking of romantic relationships, improves romantic relationships.
Surprise, surprise.
Surprise, surprise. So, Sam, have you ever heard the saying, surprise is the spice of life?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's definitely true when it comes to romantic relationships, right? So, again, I got more studies for you. Studies have shown that when people are bored in their romantic relationship, they become less attracted to each other. They actually like each other less. They even become more irritable towards each other when things become so predictable.
Routine, yeah.
Right? When people become routine and bored, right? All of a sudden, you start noticing all the things that you never liked about them.
Right?
So adding the element of surprise can actually rekindle that lost spark, right? Romantic relationships need, I think, the perfect balance of both surprise and predictability. Right. I mean, listen, a sense of safety and stability and comfort is important, because that releases actually the oxytocin.
Okay.
Right. Which is the cuddle chemical. Right?
Right.
And that's the oxytocin can also help to build trust. But too much predictability is clearly a romance killer.
Right.
Surprise, mystery, and anticipation
can
boost our dopamine levels. Again, my favorite drug, can boost our dopamine levels, which triggers attraction and excitement. Mm. So the invitation for those of us out there who manage people, who have kids, who have friends, who are in a romantic relationship, look for opportunities throughout the year, not just between Thanksgiving and New Year's, throughout the year to create surprise and awe and mystery.
Right.
My girlfriend is always telling me,
yeah,
surprise me with flowers.
Ah.
I mean, it's a simple thing, right?
Uh-huh. Yep.
It's a simple thing, right?
Right, but it takes effort.
It takes effort. And she's saying, I'm actually really simple. Just bring me flowers. In fact, bring me the flowers from the deli, from the bodega down the street, the $10 ones, the $10 version.
Right.
But do it. But she says it's not about the actual flowers.
Right.
I mean, she loves the flowers.
Right. No, it's the thought you put behind
it. It's the thought that I put behind it. It's the thought that I surprised her with it. Right. Or, you know, when I'm going to do it, or how I'm going to do it. You know. So I think it's really, really important that we're always in a way of being called surprise people, create anticipation. I think that when we are in a space of creating anticipation, mystery, awe, and surprise, we are outwardly focused. Mm. We're actually thinking of others. It's actually a form of contribution.
Yes, yes. Yeah, absolutely. Because again, it's part of that thing of, you know, why is this the one time of year that we're thinking about others? We can think about others throughout the entire year.
Yes.
We don't have to wait for a natural disaster to give aid.
Yes.
We don't have to wait for like an anniversary to give present. We don't have to wait.
Yes.
That's the thing. We can do it anytime.
Yeah, exactly.
And the more, like as we were just saying before, the more we do it with thought.
Yes.
It like doesn't have to be a big expensive
Not
present.
At all. Right.
And sometimes people appreciate most is maybe something you made yourself.
Yes.
Or something small that you just picked out because you knew they loved, you know, I don't know, they loved dogs or they loved cats or whatever. So you found a little mug or a glove or something that had it on there. You know, just that little bit of effort.
Yes.
To find something that they liked and that you thought they would like,
yes,
makes a huge difference.
Yeah, and I think that when you put the thought into it, I believe the experience often that people are left with is that you actually notice them.
Right.
You know, and when people feel noticed, they feel they have the experience of feeling like they matter, right, like they are valued. And so if you're a leader in a company that, you know, with folks reporting into you, you do want to look for opportunities to be thoughtful and to be nice, as my son says.
Right.
Because it will go a long way in the relationship account.
Yes.
You will build some serious equity, especially you're going to need that relationship equity when you have to give them constructive feedback.
Right.
Because you're going to have to. As a good leader, you're always going to give people constructive feedback,
right,
just like you should give them positive feedback. Right. Yet if you have been throughout the year, right, not just during the holiday, or not just during their performance review, which is once a year or maybe twice a year in some organizations.
Right.
Rather, throughout the year, you're being thoughtful of them.
Right.
You're thinking of what's important to them.
Right. You're making those constant little deposits to that emotional bank account, right?
Yes.
I mean, any financial planner will tell you should always put a little bit every month away in savings. So the same way we should do that for a savings account, we should do that with the emotional bank accounts of all the people we work with. Because, yes, we're going to need to draw upon that. And if you're leading a team of people, you know, there may be some project that you're going to come up on some deadlines that you're going to need to ask them to work late nights for a period of time. But if you've built up that emotional bank account, they're more than willing to do it for you. But if all you do is draw from that emotional bank account without making deposits, then they're going to be resentful.
Right.
Then morale is going to go down. Then, you know, people are going to find excuses not to do it.
Right. The reason why I continue to emphasize this point about surprise, it's because it's an experience that I believe makes a difference for both the giver and the receiver. I think that's what's really, really key, because I think often we think of creating surprise and awe and, you know, being in contribution to others as that it's an experience just for the receiver,
right,
and it certainly is.
Definitely.
And at the same time, the dopamine is also released for the giver, because when I saw my kid's face on the first night of Hanukkah,
yeah,
their eyes light up, their face get, you know, this glow.
Yeah,
it's like, I'm feeling good.
You get infected with that spirit.
Exactly. It actually, and when you have the giver and the receiver both have that experience, it creates community.
Yes.
And it creates a tribe.
Yes.
And it creates a closeness in that community. In that moment, it created a closeness between my sons and myself.
Yeah.
Just like when you do something special for your team at work.
Yeah.
When you surprise them with some news, or you surprise them with something, it creates a closeness.
Yeah, especially when it's unexpected. You know, when it's unexpected and it comes out of the blue, we're talking about surprise, those unexpected things, they mean more to people than when something is expected.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, listen, both parties, the giver and the receiver, have their pleasure centers being activated during the experience of surprise and even anticipation, right? And when we're in that state of being, when we're in that state of being of our pleasure centers being activated, I believe, or what I've witnessed both personally and in, you know, managing folks and facilitating teams, what I've noticed is that creativity goes up, collaboration goes up, there's a deeper connection that's created, the energy goes up. even the love or the kindness skyrockets to new levels. And the world, I believe, our world that we live in could use all of that.
Oh, absolutely.
Is that fair to say?
Absolutely. And just think about it. If you're being nice and surprising your team, you know, and they feel better in the environment, just think how much more creative are they going to be? What kind of new ideas are they going to come up with? Because they feel supported. They feel safe.
Yes.
You know, that's when we perform at our best. You know, so much about business is about performance. How well are we performing?
Yes.
So you want to create that environment that encourages that high performance. So by really supporting people, and again, it's not about the material gift sometimes. It's sometimes just about the recognition or just the pat on the back to say, hey, you know, I heard you on the phone that other day with that, you know, customer who was complaining and stuff. You did a really great job of handling them. I just want to say, you know, thanks. You really did well. You know, people beam and it gets, like we said before, infectious. And now other people start performing even better.
Exactly. So for the global tribe of disruptors out there, the question for you is, what would be possible for you, for the people around you, both at work and at home, and even possible for the people in the world when we bring joy, we bring contribution, we bring surprise all year long, regardless if it's December or it's July or it's a rainy day in February, what would actually be possible? And as John Lennon once said, imagine what would be possible. Now, Sam, let me ask you this question. I made the point that when we are in the being and committed to the being of surprising people or in the being of bringing the holiday spirit throughout the year, I said it's a form of contribution. It's you know, when we're outwardly focused and looking to bring that spirit, that holiday spirit in all situations, in all relationships throughout the year, that it's a form of contribution. Does that surprise you that I said that?
Not at all, because we're actually always contributing. However we show up in a given day, at a given moment, however we're being, we're contributing. We're contributing our energy to that interaction, positive or negative.
Right.
You know, happy or sad. We're always contributing. Because we're always feeling each other's energy, even on an unconscious level.
Yes.
You know, somebody just gets off the phone, had a fight with their wife, they walk into a meeting with you, you can tell they're upset.
Yes.
They don't have to say a thing.
Yes.
Right? Our energy enters the room before we even get there, and it speaks volumes for us.
Yes.
So we are always contributing. It's just a question, are we doing it consciously or unconsciously?
Yeah.
Are we doing it with awareness and doing it purposefully, or are we doing it by default?
Yes. And I think that being committed to bringing the holiday spirit throughout the year, being committed to surprise and anticipation and awe and mystery, I think all those require thoughtfulness, which you have said. I share the example of my son in what he said Christmas is to him. I think that people feel like they've been given a gift just by the mere fact that you went out of your way.
Right.
The mere fact that you took the time to either make something for them, literally something handmade or something written, that you thought that this would be important to them.
Yeah.
You know, it's one of the reasons why I love the Secret Santa gift in a lot of ways, because it forces, and especially giving a cap on how much you spend, right? Because I believe it forces people, you know, in the Dojo Disruption Men's Group, we just did Secret Santa, and we put a cap at $20, and it really forced, myself included, because I participated in the exercise.
Right.
It really forces you to really think about the other person, and at the same time, how do you create the surprise? And so, when you get this gift that's less than $20, to your point from earlier, it's not about the monetary value. It's that you know that this person went out of their way or spent their time thinking of you. And so to me, when you're committed to surprising people, both at work and at home, it is one of the greatest forms of contribution.
Yeah, and you know, by putting a cap on things, you kind of force people to work within constraints. And when we work within constraints like that, we actually end up being more creative.
Yes.
When you say like, okay, gift, it has to be under $20, then it's like you've really got to think and you got to look and find.
Yes.
You know, sometimes you can get really, really creative yes. with those gifts. And that people love.
Yes,
love
exactly.
When it's, you know, a creative thought.
Exactly. So we're going to be going to parting shots, Sam. So I'm going to give you a moment to gather your thoughts because this is a big moment in the show.
Uh-oh.
So while I do that, let me just give some information out to the disruptors out there. Please check out the Dudes of Disruption on social media throughout the week. You can find us on Facebook, Dudes of Disruption on Facebook. On Twitter, it's DOD Talk Radio. We have a men's group. You can email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com for more information. If you want one-on-one individual coaching, please email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com. We have a political social action group called Cocktails with Conviction.
Lots of great people in that group.
Thank you, Sam. Sam's part of that group. Email me at CoachNick@CoachNick for our next date. And the dudes are also going to Haiti, Sam. We are working with an organization called Heart in Haiti. It's a school down there. We're raising $15,000 to help build a new library and to raise money for 14 new scholarships. And the dudes and some of their family members, so 19 of us, are actually going to take a pilgrimage down to Haiti at the end of March, March 28th through the 31st, to help start the construction of the new library.
Oh, beautiful.
In the meantime, we're raising $15,000. So if you're interested in contributing, we have an Everyday Hero account. It's too complicated to say online, but just email me at CoachNick@CoachNick.com, and I'll send you the information.
Wonderful.
You can catch the Dudes of Disruption podcast, all 114 episodes on both Podomatic and on iTunes. So, Sam, we have our parting shots.
Mm-hmm.
What say you?
So what say me? In order to bring the holiday spirit into the rest of the year, remember that feeling.
Yes.
Remember what it was like to give a gift, to receive a gift. How did it feel in your body, right? You know, this dopamine's going off, but just how did it feel?
Mm-hmm.
And then just look for opportunities to recreate that feeling because they exist every single day.
Yes.
And so just recreate the feeling. Don't worry if it's a holiday or not. Just find any reason for an excuse to do something nice for someone, to surprise someone, to give them a gift for no reason at all other than you felt like it. And
yes.
Just see the difference it makes in your relationships to people around you.
I love it. That was Sam Leibowitz. He is the conscious consultant. He has an internet radio station, talk radio.
.nyc.
Your show is when, Sam?
My show airs every Thursday at 12 noon Eastern time to 1 p.m. Eastern time.
Great.
The Conscious Consultant Hour, and then it's recorded, and then the podcast is available afterwards.
Awesome. Thank you. Grateful for having you
on
the show.
Thank you so much, as always, Nick, for inviting me on. I really appreciate it.
So my parting shot, Sam, is I'm going to start with a Chinese proverb, which is, enjoy yourself. It's later than you think.
Oh, I like that.
Enjoy yourself. It's later than you think. So spend time with your families. Do random acts of kindness. Get yourself connected to a healthy diet and exercise program. Surprise loved ones. Surprise team members at work. Surprise colleagues, like Sam said, just for the sake of it, with something thoughtful for them. It really is, no matter what our age is, no matter where we are in this wonderful thing called life, it's always, and it really is, later than we think. Time is precious, and we don't know how much of it we're actually going to get. My offer, again, and the disruption today on this podcast episode has been, don't wait until Thanksgiving. Don't wait until Christmas. Don't wait till New Year's to go and celebrate and have a party. I mean, just to go off on a slight tangent, people always want to go to parties on New Year's Eve.
Right.
How about going to parties throughout the year? People on New Year's Eve want to get dressed up. Get dressed up all year long. You know, people only want to get dressed up for Halloween and New Year's. There's 363 other days that you're living and breathing and you're impacting people. So don't just wait for Thanksgiving, Christmas, Halloween, New Year's to get dressed up or to go to parties or to be thoughtful and nice. Look for all those opportunities throughout the year. We get to enjoy each other and this life as often as possible all year round. Tomorrow is promised to no one. Find excuses, literally find excuses with your team and with your colleagues and at home with friends and family to celebrate everything. Bring joy to the world all year long. You've been listening to Coach Nick and the Dude to Disruption. Our podcast is on iTunes and Podomatic. Email me at coachnick@coachnick for coaching, for men's group, for our social political action group, or if you want to contribute money to our Haiti project. As I mentioned, we're raising $15,000 for Heart in Haiti. I'll send you the Everyday Hero link. And lastly, check us out on Facebook and like us at Dude to Disruption. And we end every podcast episode with a famous disruptor, Dr. Seuss. We actually started the show with a Dr. Seuss quote, and we're going to complete with one. Don't cry because it's over, global tribe of disruptors. Smile because the disruption happened.